Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab is brought to you by GoNetSpeed, your choice for crazy fast fiber internet. This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And Dennis is Dennis Haltenon. He's one of the engineers who comes out every Saturday morning and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And we're happy to have him here. But we're also happy to have on the line with us Wes Bryan. And let me get Wes up here. Are you there, Wes?
Yeah, I am. Hello, Eric. How are we doing?
Good, sir. How are you? Wes Bryan is from IT Pro TV. You're an edutainer.
That's right. A little bit of education, a little bit of edutainment, or entertainment. So combine them, the same things together, and hopefully you have a little bit of entertainment, and you get the ability to learn a little bit too.
Exactly. So the reason I thought IT Pro TV would be great to have on the show is because there's a huge shortage of people for all sorts of jobs, but sure, especially technology jobs. And a lot of it is just a barrier to getting out there and doing the training, right, and getting people certified. And with IT Pro TV, you guys were ahead of the curve. I mean, before COVID, you know, and all this remote learning happening, you guys were around for years before then offering your training virtually, right?
That's right. Absolutely. You know, it's an online format, and one of the major goals was to provide the training that most of us, the edutainers and the co-founder and founder wanted, you know, the training that we didn't get, and we always wanted. So we try to be educational, but at the same time, have a little bit of fun. We don't want it to be death by PowerPoint online, you know.
Death by PowerPoint. Yeah, we've all had that before. It's kind of interesting, you know, what you're saying as far as, you know, the training you've always wanted. At Tab, we have our own, we have a very laid out training program for our techs. One of the rare companies in the area that does want our employees trained. So your point is well taken, and you guys are part of that along with other tools that we use for training.
That's great.
You guys can actually offer certification level stuff, right? You're going to give training right down to the and focus it on becoming certified so that when folks are out there, they can actually get jobs or actually say you're certified by actually getting trained. They can't take the test with you, but you give practice tests, all sorts of great information so that folks can get ready for a test and then get out there and get those certifications that companies like us are looking for, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And we've got all kinds of certification. And that's, we're certification-based and we're also skills-based too. So we do have certain tracks that are no different than the certification tracks. The only one major difference being that, hey, we just want to get in there and we want to get down to the real nitty-gritty and show you how to, set up a certain platform, use a certain technology with demonstrations and try to provide a way that you could practice those things at your leisure as well. And then certainly with the certifications, we have, all kinds of certification tracks from vendors. My primary focus is in the CompTIA realm. Mm-hmm. I've been training A-plus candidates now, even prior to IT Pro TV, for over 10 years. And so I've sat in the traditional instructor-led environment as well as the online environment. And that's one of the great things that we like, because we know that training is demanding, and it's something that, maybe a lot of people want to do. Maybe they're career changers. And we really want to adhere to multiple different, learning paths. You know, for instance, entry level novice all the way up to things like advanced systems administration, cybersecurity, even project management, project service management, and at all different levels, you know, cloud, virtualization. And again, you can have it certification-based, or it just be as simple as something that maybe you want to get your hands on and you want to kind of learn about, maybe you have to implement in your companies.
Right, because so your point is well taken, right? Not only are folks like us looking for certified folks to be, you know, the outside support for small to mid-sized businesses, but companies that have their own internal IT often find those guys and gals get stale, really stale, because they just look at the same system all day long, and they've been, you know, supporting the company for 10, 12 years in the role, and they have not refreshed their skill sets because of time or what have you. You guys give it a great way to have a time sliced option that they can just go ahead and bring up a course, watch it a half an hour at a time at their leisure, pause it if the dog's barking, whatever. They can, you know, deal with it on their leisure and get those skills refreshed. And I can't tell you how many businesses we go into where they had internal IT that literally just held them back because they didn't want to bring up, they didn't want to load the new server OS, right? They're afraid of it. So you guys can actually help them get more up to snuff.
Yeah, that's right. And even if you're a career changer, you're somebody that's already in the industry, we've got, you know, we've got viewers, members. We've got one that actually wrote in and said, hey, I just want to let you know I'm a 30-year career systems admin, and I use you as a resource just to keep current, too. I mean, let's face it, you all have been around since, 1983. You've been doing this for a very long time, and you know how technology is a constant conveyor belt. Sometimes it slows down a little bit. Sometimes it speeds up, but it never stops, and it's very easy to have technology, just kind of pass you by. As an instructor, I'm fortunate because I'm kind of forced to stay up with things, up with technologies and kind of understanding where it is. But I think in the same way, that's one of the things that gives us the advantage that we can really help touch base with people that are trying to get, a certain direction in their technology career, whether it be just stepping foot into the industry. Again, whether you're somebody that maybe is trying to step up in the industry that you're already in. So a lot of options there.
There really is. I mean, I've been doing quote-unquote technical sales for TAB for a long time now. And the difference between guys who are technical and can sell a technical product who are actually understand it versus the guys who were selling sneakers before and then go ahead and say, hey, you should have this cybersecurity, they don't have a clue as to what it all is all about. And you guys could give them a huge leg up to just understand the underlying technology. If you don't understand it, you can't sell it.
Right.
You can't explain it to your prospect. So with IT Pro TV, you can really get a good understanding of what's going on out there, whether it's VLANing, whether it's cybersecurity, whether it's you name it, they're doing it. Now, you don't have to get, if you're on that level, you don't have to get too technical. You do have sandboxes, though, right? You can actually try this stuff.
Definitely. Yeah, our one of our sister companies that's all a part of our umbrella corporation is Practice Labs. In fact, we just recently integrated with Practice Labs, and they have full, complete virtualized labs. And very well, I'm sure, having to support the hardware over the years, that when it comes to things like Cisco routers and stuff, you don't get to typically just virtualize those.
Right,
if you truly want to work with them, I mean, you can work with them in GNS in a little bit too, but at whatever system you're running it on, it's going to be definitely taxed. Well, you actually get your little slice of the pie to say through virtualization and a web browser, you get to connect to physical machines that are running in a data center that you now have access to, that you can configure, you can practice. Let's face it, you know, if you're learning a technology, I'm like everybody else. I can break a network with the best of them.
But
boy, is it nice to do it in a sandbox to where you're not getting a call from a CIO saying, yeah, our Exchange server's down, you just broke the company.
Exactly. That's a good point. And obviously with COVID, it's probably opened a lot of people's eyes to the ability to do this remote learning much more easily than once thought. And I mean, we used to have our guys trained. We'd have to go to like the New Horizons centers. We'd go there with a bunch of folks. And the problem is, you know, you can't support your clients if all your guys are in a class at the same time, right? So
absolutely.
We would do these weekend things.
I was a technical instructor for New Horizons.
Yeah.
Familiar with that model. And yeah, you're right. It does. You spend time in the classroom. And if you need – It's good to have access to, you know, just a remote learning situation in general. And, you know, it really should open people's eyes, too, so that, you know, yeah, there are a lot of things that were bad. But when we look from the, you know, the forcing of a work from home environment, mm-hmm. it just puts more emphasis on the cloud. And I know that some people might be have a little bit of fear and just say, okay, what does that do for the person that supports the hardware? Mm-hmm. Well, people all have to remember that the data center is located somewhere. You're running it on somebody else's network. Well, there are many of people out there that have to support those networks. So there are plenty of jobs in that. And it's, you just got to keep in mind that all of the same concepts that you learn about hardware physically still apply to the cloud side. It's just you have to train your mindset that you're going to be doing things through a browser.
Right.
You
still got to back it up. You still got to make sure you optimize it. You still got to make sure you configure it. And you've got the local network,
Absolutely.
Too. So there's plenty to do.
And, you know, in today's day and age, you know, there's new paths that are emerging that have always been there, but now they have, you know, optimized and specialized focus like data engineering. You know, data science is really, really important because, you know, we're in a point in history where we have the largest volumes of information that are stored on servers.
Right.
You know, if you think that, you know, just 10 years ago, 8 exabytes of data would be what would traverse the entire internet in a single day. Well, we have companies now that are storing exabytes of data, you know, beyond petabytes. So things that we just, you know, astronomically large, you know, things like AI and machine learning that need to actually use that information. So what do we do with it? Well, we have to store it. Well, how do you store it? Well, you have to develop storage architecture. So it all comes back to the hardware eventually. And like mm-hmm. you mentioned, things like backup and compliance and regulation. So there's a lot out there. Cybersecurity is hot right now, mm-hmm. But it's also very competitive.
It's one of those
things to keep in mind that, you know, yeah, it's competitive, but so don't overlook some of those other areas that maybe don't seem as quite as competitive right now. But in the end, you know, if you have support and have focus, you know, it can bring you into a good position, if you will.
Right. So as far as the classes that you see people taking the most on your platforms, I mean, what are folks doing? I mean, is there a quantity of is there a limit as far as what your systems can handle, or is there folks out there just jumping into cybersecurity? What's going on your platforms?
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. Cybersecurity is hot. People are definitely wanting the cybersecurity certifications, mm-hmm. Focusing on things like CISSP and a lot of the different certifications.
Right.
I think SSCP is another one. For the, ISC Squared Foundation, so their certifications,
yep.
Things like EC Council, CEH, if you will, Certified Forensics Investigator, so classes like that. But what's interesting by the numbers, Eric, is the fact that, you know, our number one viewed course and has been since I would venture to say since we've, you know, IT Pro TV turned the lights on, has been A+, CompTIA's A+, an entry level two exam certification. It is the highest course. Our next would be Network Plus, learning, mm-hmm. you know, the foundational information. So it just goes to show you that the help desk, just getting your foot into the door, is very, very popular right now and very in demand. Well, I've had people reach out to me on LinkedIn and said, hey, I got an A+ certification. I've already got hired. I'm part of the help desk, you know, level one. So, you know, it's great.
It is great. And you make a good point. So we, in our search for certified folks, because we want to make sure the guys we hire know what they're doing. We put them through kind of a little bit of a ringer, right? When we've got our interview that occurs, we ask questions that are technical, highly technical. And the sad part that we find is you've got these guys on help desks that are in these big corporations, and they've only been allowed to do a password reset all day long. That's all they know. And you ask them anything about DNS or VLANing or anything, they literally like deer in the headlights. Like, what's that? So when you look at what you can offer them to get them that information, it's huge, right? So they're going to be able to answer our questions and not look silly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We do systems administration and Microsoft training. So, you know, in a couple with our labs, hey, get in there, stand up a DNS server.
Right.
You know, create, learn what a zone is, learn what a forward lookup and a reverse lookup zone is. You know, look at what the records are. You know, how do the records work? What are they used for? And that's one of the great things about having that sandbox.
Mm-hmm.
And other things too. You know, we have our sandbox for larger infrastructure, but we also teach our viewers how to build their own free infrastructure. There's lots of good software out there. There's things like VirtualBox out there completely free. You know, Microsoft offers free trial server operating systems that you can have absolutely just no cost, and you can use it for 180 days. So, again, I would encourage, I guess one of the best pieces of advice I ever got when I first got in well over a decade ago, I haven't been in that long, but well over a decade ago, when I first decided that I wanted to get into IT, I asked my very first instructor, I said, how do you remain successful in or stay relevant? I should say, I was just looking for relevancy, not just success, but just we'll start there.
Yeah.
And he said, treat it like it's a hobby. He goes, if you treat it like it's a hobby, you'll never be bored and you'll never stop learning. And, you know, the sky's the limit. I've always kind of told people, if you can do it like that, if you can do that, you can not be afraid to get your hands on new technology and challenge yourself a little bit. Do it on the back end, too. You don't have to necessarily do it just because, you know, you're required to do it. Do it for yourself.
Exactly. You know? And you might learn something. So
that's right. Yes, absolutely.
So, Wes,
we keep the network going good.
Yeah, we're going to have you back. Coming out for future shows, talk about learning and getting folks involved in tech careers. We have a link over at computertalkwithtab.com, and the folks at IT Pro TV even offered, if you put in a CTWT30, you get 30% off on their training. It was something they offered. I didn't, I was like, awesome. That's great. Anything to give my listeners a reason to become geeks. We need them. So go to computertalkwithtab.com and check out the link to IT Pro TV and see what these guys are doing. It can change your life. I mean, it's a whole new way to look at your future, and we need you in the IT world. We need more geeks, and the guys at IT Pro TV and gals can actually train you up, and you can join companies like ours. So, Wes, I want to thank you very much for joining us, sir.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, what's better than a Saturday, morning? You could get up and you talk technology. I absolutely love it. And I look forward to coming back anytime you'll have me, sir. I'm always interested. I'm a geek at heart. So I look forward to spreading the geekdom.
Very good, sir. Yeah, we've been doing it for 25 years. So Saturday morning geekdom is what we're all about. Thanks, Wes. All right, we're going to step out for a quick break. Get back to more of your calls. We'll be right back.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And we are live. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Three lines wide open for you. And I know Joey's taking a call right now. But as we're waiting for that call, we do have a news story we'll bring up and something that gets Dennis and I a little cranky.
Oh, yeah. I hate this.
What do you got?
This is about a lawsuit that is being leveled against Canon USA about combo devices, scanners, printers, where the scan function will not work if the ink cartridge for printing is empty or missing.
Awful.
In other words, it becomes a giant cinder block. Right. Unless it has a working cartridge.
Right. You run out of ink, no scan for you.
Right.
It makes no sense.
And this is something that's been going on for a long time. I remember I had an HP printer way back in the late 90s where the composite color cartridge would go empty like instantly because it only would print 10 pages.
And then it would clog up.
Right. And then you could... In the software, you could tell it to print just in black and white.
Yeah.
And it stopped doing that.
It refused to do it.
It would not print anything at all unless it had two working cartridges.
Right.
So I chucked that thing and I got a different one. And I was happier with that.
Yeah.
And then that one had problems and I eventually went to a color laser, which was the smartest thing I ever did.
Yeah.
But this has been going on forever. They've been jerking people around for a long time.
Yeah.
Trying to make you keep your cartridges current.
Right.
And not
maybe you
clogged
up. Want to. Maybe you do want to do that, right? You're a happy user of this product, and you just didn't happen to purchase the ink and have it in your shelf, so they actually turn it off. You can't scan. Maybe you need to scan something, man. What's going on here?
Well, I know people that actually have these.
Yeah.
And they have, maybe they've got like a laser printer to go with this.
Right.
And they basically never print with the inkjet part of the scanner.
Right.
They only use it for scanning. So right. Why should they have to keep putting cartridges in it if they don't even really want to use that feature at all?
Right. Crippleware.
Right. But anyway, I hope that the people that are suing them.
Is it class action?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Looks that way.
I mean, we're not big litigious type of guys, but this type of stuff bothers us.
This is definitely ridiculous.
It's like having your refrigerator not work because the ice maker doesn't have water in it.
Or the example you gave, which is your car won't start because your wiper blade needs to be replaced.
Yes, go get some wiper blades, or if you want to use your car.
Yeah.
The printing industry is just, I mean, obviously we've all been promised paperless for about 10, 15 years. Everyone said we're going to be paperless. Let's go paperless. We print more now than we ever did.
Oh, yeah.
And these companies are just ridiculous to actually disable their own device so that you can't use it. So, Joey, get on. There's another line coming in there. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC are the numbers. We want to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And as we wait for Joey to take the call here, 7-Eleven was breached.
Whoa.
Right. Sorry, 7-Eleven breached customer privacy. I read that wrong. Oh. By collecting facial imagery without consent. The OAIC has found 7-Eleven breached customers' privacy by collecting and storing their facial images as part of efforts to understand the demographic profile of their customers. And I think this is in Australia, where pretty much it's still, you can't even go outside and play in the park because of COVID. That's just a whole nother big problem. But in Australia, the country's information commissioner has found that 7-Eleven breached customers' privacy by collecting their sensitive biometric information without adequate notice or consent. Now, a lot of folks just say, smile, you're on camera. Nowadays, you should expect to be on camera, but it looks like there's some sort of privacy rules that are involved here in Australia. They're actually looking out for people and when they're not arresting them for being in the park. it's really funny when you juxtapose it against how they're treating people in COVID versus how, they're trying to help you with your biometric information. We're keeping them. We're going after the slushy folks because they've been collecting your data. But if you're out in the park during COVID, you're crazy.
I have a question. Why were they collecting facial?
It's purely to understand the demographics of their customers.
Huh.
I don't know what that means. I mean, I don't know based on your ethnicity what you're going to end up buying on 7-Eleven and why that matters.
Huh.
But I don't know. Somebody's got some big data tool that said, so-and-so buys this and so-and-so doesn't buy that. I don't know.
Right.
But they're in trouble. 700 stores had this data captured, and they're going to have to deal with the ramifications of Australian law.
Wow.
So we'll see how that goes. I'll put the link up there for you. You can read it. Let's go to your calls. We're going to go to Vaughn first and see what's going on. I'm sorry, Joanne in Windsor Locks. V-O-N is the actual question. What's going on, Joanne? What is V-O-N? I think you meant VPN.
I did say VPN.
Joey, what are you doing over there, man? Joey's having a rough day. He was here early. So what's going on with your VPN?
Okay. When I was on, a message came up that I was going too fast flying through space. What does that mean?
You're what?
I was flying too fast going through space.
Okay. And that was when you're online?
Yeah.
And your VPN provider told you that?
Yeah.
Sometimes I think these calls are just pulling my leg. Going too fast.
Really?
However, but my other question is, when I sign out from my computer, I have a choice of signing out from the VPN also. Should I sign out from that also?
Doesn't really matter.
Because if I don't, and I go back on my computer, the VPN is ready to be used.
Yeah, you might want to leave the VPN running even when you sign out.
It doesn't matter, really.
But, yeah, effectively it doesn't.
Okay.
But that error, I can't find that error. Did you find that error going too fast running through space? That seems weird. Like, so, is that like a pop-up?
No.
Is it a pop-up, Joanne?
I don't think so. It ran across my screen. You're going too fast.
Running through space.
Running through space.
I don't.
I think that's some sort of browser pop-up. It has nothing to do with the VPN, if I had to guess, right?
Yeah, I would say probably disabled notifications in your browser.
Mm.
Are you using Chrome or Firefox?
No. Oh. Well, actually.
Use the beach ball or the little fox around the world there? What are you using for your browser?
Or Edge?
Well, I think I'm using Proton.
Proton's got... Oh, you're using Proton on your
VPN. Yes.
That's the tunnel you're using, but you're using a browser for Proton to go through.
Right.
You don't know which browser you're using? You don't click on the little beach ball?
Maybe Windows.
Yeah, the IE browser, the little blue
Edge browser.
Yeah.
No, I turned off Edge.
Okay, so you're using the E with the little halo over it?
Yes.
Okay. Internet Explorer. So you might have some sort of... browser pop-up happening because that doesn't make any
sense.
Yeah,
Internet Explorer doesn't really have a notification.
So I think it's a browser. I mean, you can clear your cache then maybe in the browser there in IE and see if that message goes away, but I don't know what that is. I did a search on it and didn't even find anything on it.
I couldn't find anything either. Sorry.
Yeah, so it's a weird one, Joanne.
I know. And the thing is that it came flying through my screen too.
You're flying too fast through space, and they fly the warning about it across your screen.
Right.
Okay, that makes sense.
Were you surfing? It could be on the website you're surfing, too. It could be that is offering you that weird display.
Okay.
That's the problem with IT, Joanne. When you read a magazine, it's all right there. We know it's coming from where it's coming from. When you're online, who knows where all this stuff is coming from? And it's crazy. So... I don't think you have to worry about it, but because I can't find anything about it at all. So
okay,
but all yeah.
Right. And I also want to say that I've been listening to this program since the 1900s.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, way to go.
We appreciate that. So you've gone through thick and thin with us. Then.
You might also have a browser hijack.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. In that case, you might want to get yourself a copy of Malwarebytes and download and install. Oh, then open Malwarebytes, make sure it updates, and then run a scan on your computer. I would do that. If you've already got it, go ahead and do it.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome, Joanne.
All right.
Good luck.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Listening since 1900.
Ooh.
I feel really old now. Really old. All right, let's go on to John in Bethel. What's going on, John?
Hey, good morning. On the old computers, you used to go on and do a scan disk and defrag to put everything back together and make it run a little bit faster.
Yeah.
I can't seem to find it on Windows 10.
Oh.
Well, first check, do you have a solid-state drive or a spinny drive?
I have the i7.
That's the process. That's your engine. So it's not your drive. That's your engine. So we need to know first if you have a solid state drive or a spinny drive. Solid state, you don't need to defrag or do any of that stuff on.
No.
That must be the problem. That because when I go in there looking where I used to be able to find it, even if I do a search, it doesn't come up.
Yeah, defragmentation.
Well, you can, if you want to, you can get to all of the tools that are available for the drive that you've got. What you do is you open up Windows Explorer, and then you click on this PC or on computer. It might be either name, and that'll be in the column on the left.
Yeah.
And then it'll show you your C drive in a bigger icon on the right. Right-click on that. Okay?
Okay.
And then you're going to click Properties.
Yep.
Okay. And then there will be a tab marked Tools.
All right, and you should be under there then.
Yeah, there will be an error checking tool. That's basically check disk.
Mm-hmm.
It just isn't called that in that screen. And if your system, has a SSD, it'll give you an option to optimize. That's what it's called on an SSD.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And if it's a spinning drive, then you should be able to get into some defrag controls there.
Okay. I'll do that when I get home.
Okay.
But it's a solid state because I It was a big ticket item when I bought it.
Yeah. So if it is solid state, John, do not run any maintenance utilities on it.
Yeah.
No, leave it the way it is. It does its own stuff.
The only one of those tools that I would run is the error checking or check disk, but only if there's something going wrong.
Right.
There's nothing going wrong with it.
Good.
Then you should be happy.
Yeah. So if it's still slow, you have an i7 and a solid state drive.
You should be pretty good shape.
Yeah. So you could have something else going wrong with it, like malware running in the background. So that's where you'd have to run it.
No, I'm running Malwarebytes. I've got Norton. I got LifeLock. I got the whole enchilada.
You've got Malwarebytes and Norton.
Are they running together, John?
Yes.
That could also be a problem.
I would uninstall one or the other.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you've paid for the Norton, I'd probably leave that one installed and running and uninstall the Malwarebytes.
Yep. Too much security.
Too many antiviruses trample each other.
Remember Ralphie's brother in A Christmas Story, how he was all dressed up and all those? That's exactly what you're doing to your computer. You got too many coats on. You can't. That's what you're doing. All right, John?
Oh, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, John.
Oh, well, I always figured that too much security is the best, but I guess obviously not.
You can have too much. Yes. True.
Okay.
All right, John.
But I haven't gotten any malware. That's all I have to say.
Well, hooray.
Yeah. Good job.
All right. I appreciate the information. That's what I'll do when I get back.
All right. Take it easy.
All right.
Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye. All right. We're going to step out for a quick break. Get back to more of your calls. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. And yes, that is true. Dr. Lessie will be up next with Healthy Round. So stick around. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. And that starts at 11. But for now, you got us. Dennis and I are here helping you out.
A few more minutes.
Yep. And we're over on WCIC's Facebook page. We're podcasted, too. So it's kind of interesting. I was trying to ask Joey how many podcasts we've done. And unfortunately, he hasn't been counting. But he thinks 800 or so or more. We've been podcasting since podcasting was a thing, before it was a thing, before Joe Rogan made it a thing. We were podcasting. Didn't know it was a thing, but it is. And if you're looking to get our podcast, if you missed a show, you can go over to Odyssey. And we've got links over at Computer Talk. Go to WTIC.com. The links are all there. You can get all the shows through the podcast if you missed anything. Pretty handy dandy. And listen to us whenever you like. And let's go to Joe in Windsor next. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, sir. How are you?
Always listen to the show, even though I have a Mac.
Good, yeah.
That's fine. Yeah. I've got one. Yeah. Why? What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Always learning something.
Good. Well, what's your Mac doing today?
It's not happy.
Uh-oh.
Oh, you have a sad Mac?
Yeah. Once a day, every couple days, a gray screen comes down from top towards the bottom, and then I get a warning says I have to restart the computer.
Uh-huh.
So it's a gray screen of death? I didn't know that. So that's interesting.
Kernel panic.
Kernel panic.
Yes.
Not completely dark. It's just like a filter. Yeah. So is the hard drive going? I did a cleanup, but through disk utilities. But
well, it could be the hard drive is going. It could be you've got another hardware problem, but it's typically going to be hardware. The one thing that I'm going to ask you is, did you install any programs recently that may have triggered some of this? Because once in a while, if you've added like a program that operates at the system level, like an antivirus or something like that, it can cause problems like this.
I haven't done anything. I've been losing things. I'm getting warnings that they don't support the computer anymore.
How old is this thing?
How old is dirt?
The other thing, too, is I've seen here that they talk about unauthorized peripheral devices. So you could have plugged in something current into your super old Mac that is seen to it as an unauthorized device.
Yeah, I've got two or three externals, but they've been around a while.
Okay.
All right.
I'm having problems with Firefox. Things are starting to go slowly, so I'm wondering if there's a lot of conflict because nothing new has been added.
Okay.
Yeah, so again, if you're...
I want to get a new one anyways because this is a problem. The problem is I use software that I'd have to buy the whole program all over again. Like I use a lot of Adobes, and you can't buy
them. Yes.
You got to rent them.
Yes.
No, you can buy it.
Well, yes, you can buy it.
They're not going to market it real hard there, but you can go and buy a single download of certain Adobe products. Some of them, depending on what you're using it for, make you rent it in the cloud, but you can still buy it.
I use Photoshop a lot because I do a lot of editing.
You can buy Photoshop one time.
Okay.
You don't have to rent it, I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
What about the Photo Works that comes on the new Macs?
On the new Macs, there is a program called Photos, and it will manage your photos.
For free.
Yes, and it's built into the operating system, yeah.
Can I doctor them and
you can do some editing. You can also set it up so that you can right-click on a photo in Photos and then have it launch the photo in Photoshop, and then you can edit it there, save it, and it'll be in Photos again.
Very handy.
It is an entree point to get at all your photos.
Good.
All right. The other thing which you're going to laugh at is Quark Express.
Quark, oh my gosh.
I started doing computer work on, because I have my own business since 95, and that's what was.
Oh, yeah, in the 90s, Quark was the thing, yes.
Oh, yeah, and I've got millions of files and customer work that's in Quark. I'm trying to learn InDesign because that's what everybody likes now.
Well, it's kind of the standard now anyway, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, you're gonna have to change, Joe. You're gonna if the Mac stops on you, what would happen? So this happens in a lot of our business clients. They try to hold things too long, and then the device fails, and now you've got no choice. So get the new device, get the new software, start learning it because the old one's gonna quit on you. All right.
Yep.
Yeah. I bought Marksware.
Marksware. I'm not familiar with that.
You just click on anything done in Quark Express, and it converts it to InDesign.
Oh, wonderful.
All right. Well, you
start converting, Joe.
Half
quick.
The battle done. Yep.
Yeah, we got to go. Hard break, unfortunately, Joe, but thank you.
Help,
yeah, you're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. So Joe's out of here. I want to thank him very much. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. I want to thank Joey for producing. I want to thank Mike G for posting everything live. I want to thank Wes Bryan from IT Pro TV out there as well joining us. Go and check out ComputerTalkWithTab.com for all the links. And if you want to join us as a geek, we need you. So go over to IT Pro TV link on our page and check it out, man. You can become a geek, too. I want to thank all you guys. Heading out to Southington for Music of the Night.
We want you to become geeks, too.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.